We are in part two of a three-part series I'm calling In God We Trust. Now that the elections are over, we have nothing to worry about. It was a little bit of a joke. It's been an interesting sort of season of life for us as American citizens. And I continue to look to the scriptures for guidance and wisdom and comfort. And really, this series is about a whole lot more than just the politics of today. This sermon series is about our everyday life of whether or not each day we're going to wake up and place our trust in God or our trust in ourselves. When you travel to a third world country, you have certain experiences that you just really don't have here. One of the things that become plainly clear, I've been to Haiti. It was a long time ago now, and in the Dominican Republic, there's basically a little Haiti where people have, where Haitians have immigrated to make up their own little version of Haiti in the middle or heart of Bavaro, Dominican Republic. And when you walk into Monte Verde, is the village, the Haitian village in Bavaro, you are struck by the poverty. You're struck by just how little they have. They started a new building thing. Before, it was just whatever they could come up with. And now, this is the first time I'd seen it on this trip. They actually had used pallets. They were building houses out of the pallets. And so I thought that that was interesting. But I always come away from moments like that, and you're reminded of their poverty. But there's an important lesson for us, for me in particular, and that is, where are we going to place our trust? Am I going to place my trust in the things that I can acquire for myself? Can I trust in my finances? Can I trust in my earthly treasures? Can I trust that because we have a Republican office, things are going to be better? Can I trust that any number of things that we try and establish for ourselves and bring us comfort and security? Really, we all come before God in this sort of poverty of our own need before God. And so this morning, the message is really about just putting our trust in Jesus. And it's every story I'll tell is about whether or not we're looking to test God, whether or not we question whether or not God is there for us, or whether or not we trust and believe and know that God is there for us no matter what's going on in our lives. There's a story in the scriptures, and if you guys want to get to our text this morning is in Matthew chapter 4. But before we get there, there's a story that kind of feeds into Matthew chapter 4, and it's a story found in Exodus. Exodus is the story of Israel being called out of Egypt. When Israel is leaving Egypt, they are on a journey for 40 years that is all about learning to trust in God. And along the way, the people cry out because they're hungry, and God sends them food every single day. On Saturday, he doesn't send them food, but he sends them double the amount of manna on Friday so they can store it and eat it on Saturday. Their whole entire journey is about learning to trust in God, that no matter where they're at, no matter what's going on, that God is present with them, God cares for them, and God loves them. There comes a time, though, where they arrive in Exodus chapter 17, where they arrive at a place where there's nothing to drink. And then the people, you know when your kids get thirsty and they start whining and crying and it's like it's the end of the world? Well, imagine a whole nation of people who are tired and hungry and extremely thirsty, and they all start whining to Moses. And Moses, he turns to God and he says, God, they're ready to kill me. They're so thirsty. And so God says, take the staff that you use to separate the waters, and I want you to strike the rock. And so God sends Moses. Moses, he strikes the rock, and water gushes out. That place became known as Massa and Meribah. And it's because they question whether or not God was present. It says that they tested God at Meribah, at Massah. And that became a sort of story, a thing for the Israelites to say, can we trust in God? And the Israelites, they looked at their situation, and their situation was so bleak, so difficult, they were so thirsty, that it led them to question whether or not God was present in their life. Have you had moments in your own life where you wondered, is God here, and does God care, does God love me? And this is exactly what's going on in the life of Israel. They're in such a difficult situation that they're wondering, is God present with us? And that question is a lack of trust. It's bred out of a lack of trust in God's presence and God's care. God had been faithful, providing for them all the food that they've needed for their journey, all the protection that they could possibly have needed. God has given them, but the moment came when it was, I imagine, a rather dusty, dirty, just a hard, hot day, and they're looking for maybe a little bit of Gatorade or something, and there's nothing to be found. And they wonder, does God care? Is God here? Is God leading us? And life can become so difficult and so hard for these people that they begin to wonder and they test God. That's in Exodus. In Deuteronomy, God is laying out for the Israelites rules and parameters for their life. And he says in Deuteronomy 6 that you are not to put the Lord your God to the test like you did at Massah. You got to trust and know that every day of your life, God is present. God cares for you. You got to believe that. Don't put God to the test. In Matthew, we're going to jump quite a bit of time in history, and we're going to hop into Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the story of the temptation of Jesus. If you remember in the sermon a couple weeks ago, we covered Jesus' baptism. What does God say at Jesus' baptism? But the heavens open, and God says, this is my son who I love and am well pleased. If the heavens opened and God spoke to me, I would have a whole lot of confidence. That would be a really good day, right? And so that happens for Jesus. The word of God comes, the word of God says, this is my son, I love him, and I am proud of him. After that, Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted. He's led by the Spirit, and he's there for 40 days and 40 nights, reflecting what happened with Israel for 40 years. And Jesus is first tempted, and we talked about this temptation 2 weeks ago. Jesus is first tempted to turn stones into bread. After not eating for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan tempts him with, hey, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, why don't you just take care of yourself? And then Satan, that doesn't work. And Satan takes Jesus, and it says here in our text, the devil took him, in chapter 4 of verse 5 of Matthew, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, again questioning his identity, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus answered Satan with Deuteronomy 6. That story that Israel put God to the test, and they questioned whether or not God was present, that God was among them, that God loved them, Jesus answers back and he says, I don't need to leap from the temple to prove that God loves me. I don't need to leap from the temple to prove that God is present and that God cares. I don't need to put God to the test in this way. Jesus' ministry is about, or at least what we see reflected in the life and ministry of Jesus is people who interact with him, and it's always the sort of contrast of faith and a lack of it. There was a man who came to Jesus, and he was a centurion. And he said, you know, Jesus, one of my servants is sick. He's paralyzed. He can't walk. And there's some really, it's really bad. He needs your help. And their sort of interaction is like, okay, you know, Jesus is like, all right, well, you know, tell me more a little, you know, and he says, I know that you're a man of authority. This is what the centurion says, that you're a man of authority just like I am. I tell people to go and they do it. I tell people to jump, they say how high. And the centurion says to Jesus, I know that you're a man of authority and that if you tell my servant to be healed, that he will be. And Jesus is startled by this faith. He's like, I've been looking for this kind of faith in Israel, and here it comes in the form of this centurion soldier, this man of authority, and he finds the faith that he's been looking for in this man. And he says, go, and you'll find your servant well. And just like that, Jesus heals the servant. God is looking for faith. He's looking for a trust. And in the centurion, it was in the authority of Christ, that Christ has the authority. And so we have this sort of interweaving of several stories, and the sermon could go on forever and ever, but I just want to keep it really simple for you this morning. The story of Massa is a story of people questioning and having a lack of trust in the presence of God and his love. In the story of Jesus being taken to the temple, having his identity questioned, Jesus says, I'm not going to put God to the test in this way. I'm going to trust and believe and know that the words that when the heavens were opened and God said that he loves me and that he's here with me, that God cares for me, that I'm going to trust and know that that's enough. You see, Jesus is going to be tempted over and over and over again to question whether or not God can accomplish what he's setting out to accomplish. Can God do what he says he's going to do? We say almost immediately, oh yeah, absolutely, God can do what he says he's going to do. But how many of us trust and believe that God is going to accomplish it? Who's tried to take matters in their own hands with their life? I guess I'm... Wait, Lindsay and I, we got it, all right? How many of you are control freaks? It's got to be your way. Who has ultimate patience with God and his timing and trust that everything's going to work out? I must be among saints. You guys are amazing people. I forgot that. But friends, over and over again in our lives, we meet these trials, and the question in our mind becomes, is God here? Does God know about what I'm going through? Can I trust that God cares enough about what is happening in my life that he's going to do something about it? And God's timeline is never the way I want his timeline to be. The people at Massa were thirsty and they didn't have enough trust in God to say, you know what? God has led us all the way through all of this journey and we can trust and know that he knows we're thirsty. Instead, they whine and cry and bemoan and say, Moses, we're ready to kill you, man, unless you do something about it. I find oftentimes I have a lot more in common with those Israelites in Massa than I do in Christ the Savior. And this journey for Jesus on the top of the temple, for him to say, you know, we don't put God to the test in this way. He doesn't need to make a trust fall because he already knows that God loves him and cares for him. My kids, they like to do a trust fall out of the van. I don't know how this came to be, but we open the door and they're like, Dad, let's do a trust fall. And it's like, all right, you know, and so I'm right there. And I am never going to drop them. Like, it's my biggest fear that they're going to fall and, like, crack their head. But my kids, I hope that my kids don't genuinely need to do the trust fall, that to know that I love them and care about them. And I think that that's the simplest form of this text, is just to say we can trust God. We can know that he's there for us. You see, Jesus and this test and this temptation, it finds ultimate fulfillment in the cross. There is a moment on the cross where Jesus could call out and say, you know what? I can't take this anymore. Send the angels and let's wipe this out and let's do it my own way. But Jesus displays perfect trust. Can in the midst of the most difficult, horrible situation of his entire life, naked, beaten, insulted, hanging on a cross, in that moment, imagine just the very worst moment possible of any person ever, and Jesus trusts God. He commits his spirit to God. He commits his life to this very moment, hanging on the cross. He doesn't question. He doesn't say, does God really care about me? He trusts in God's plan to fulfill what he's going to fulfill. And friends, it's his example that we have to follow. It's the example of the cross, of this total and complete trust in knowing that God's timing is better than our own. And it's such a hard truth. There's ways in which I wish that this was not the case. That when life gets hard, that there was just the easy button, like you see the commercials, and it's like, oh, life is hard, and they hit a button, and there's a product for you. That's not real life. Real life is this journey about learning to trust in God, even when our days are difficult, and it feels like our days may even be numbered. And every day we wake up and we're not sure if we even want to put our shoes on and go and face the day. But this text, the story of the scriptures, is this reminder over and over and over that God is present, that God loves, that God leads us. In the case of the cross, it was 3 days to show the power of God to accomplish what he was seeking to accomplish. In your life, it may not be 3 days. It may be 3 years. But the story of the scriptures and the story of our lives has been that God is present, that God leads, that God loves us, that God is there with us, and we do not need to question like the people of Massa, wondering, where, God, are you? Because he says that I am here with you in my spirit. Jesus teaches his disciples in John chapter 8, chapter 9, one of those, I forget, but he talks to them about being the shepherd, and that everyone who has been brought into his care, he will never give up. That the Father has a hold of each and every one of us, and he won't let us go. Rod and Nancy Wildman were on an anniversary trip with Nancy's parents, if I remember the story well. And before Rod left, he had on his heart a desire to serve. And so what he did was, he knew he was going to Bavaro, and Bavaro is it's a vacation resort area. You would never know that there's an immigration of thousands of Haitians unless you've like fell into it. It's off, tucked in the corner. You would never know it exists. And Rod, before they left, he called churches. And he said, my family's going down there. There's going to be a bunch of us, and we want to serve in some way. In the course of the phone calls, he came in contact with Pastor Pasquale. And through that connection, they met up, and they discovered Monteverde. And within the context of that trip, God used that desire, just a simple desire to serve. I don't know what Rod thought he was going to do. Maybe it was just paint some walls and do something kind. But God used that simple act of service of saying, you know, I want to do something when I'm down there and serve in some way. God struck them in the heart, both Rod and Nancy. They came in contact with the folks in Monteverde, and they said, these kids don't have an education. They don't have any of the resources that we take so for granted, and God laid on their heart to do something. In 10 years, Second Mile Missions has an elementary school, a high school, a trade school, a an orphanage with 11 girls in it who are being rescued from sex trafficking. They had a medical clinic, but that's no more. It's a side story. But anyways, in 10 years, debt-free with 800 students, a part of their program. What God has done with an act of trust. And there's been countless moments of doubt for Rod and Nancy along the way. Countless moments where, is this the right thing that we're supposed to be doing? But ultimately, every step forward has been a step forward in the trust of God and knowing that He has their future in His hands. That they can trust and know and love God. I know that life is not easy. I've had to see my parents endure difficulty, not because of me. I was the perfect kid. Never did wrong. At least in my mom's eyes. She loves me so much. But you see the hurt in my parents, and just you see hurt in people and ministry, and just knowing the heartache that it is that we all go through. And friends, it is my job to tell you, we serve an awesome God. And He loves you. And He is here. And He says, I am your shepherd. And in Him we have everything we need. And we might go through the darkest of valleys. God is present and He is here with us. We don't have to fear the evil. We don't have to fear the threats of our life. We can trust and know that the victory of life is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we call Him our Savior. We call Him our King. And He is our hope. So friends, it's my job to tell you. It is my privilege to remind you that Jesus is King. And He loves you. That He gave His life that you might have eternal life in Him. Friends, life is not easy. And there's always these moments where we wonder and we want to test to see if whether or not God really does care. And really, friends, it's not about testing. It's about trust. It's about knowing and believing, waking up every day knowing and believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. And His Spirit is with you, leading you and guiding you and helping you. So friends, rest in Him. Trust in Him. Obey Him. And most of all, I think, it's pray. Pray and know that God is present and here and with us. Trust that He has the authority and the power and the ability to do what He says He's going to do. And He tells us what He's going to do. He's going to make the world right in His time and in His way. I don't know the three-step process, but I know it begins with me falling on my knees and praying to God and saying, God, it's not my will, but Yours. It's not my ways, but it's Your ways. And we set aside our pride. We take up the humility of Christ, trusting in God in every way. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You. And we shamefully admit that there are times that we want to do things our own way. And we regret on the other side of it to find that our way is not nearly as good as Yours. God, there are so many circumstances in our lives. As a collection of people, we know that tomorrow might bring job loss. We know that tomorrow might bring a test in our relationships and friendships. God, we know that our security is not in the things of this world, but it is so easy to turn to them for comfort and strength and security. And God, lead us to You. Help us to find a quench for our thirst in the living water of your Son. Help us not to be like the people of Massa who put you to the test. Help us to be like the faithful centurion who trusts in your authority to do what you say you can do. God, lead us. Help us to follow the steps of our Savior. Lord, to not look to try and accomplish amazing, not to try and accomplish things by our own way, but by trusting in you. Only you can lead us, Lord, in each of our journeys. Only you can lead us to the comfort and strength that you're calling us to. It's through your Spirit, God, that you would lead us as a people, that you would help us to feel your presence and know that we're secure in you. And so I pray for every single person in this room and a part of our church family, God, that by your Spirit you would lead us to find strength and comfort and peace this morning. God, whether it's our friends and family members who are sick and hurting, if it's our friends and family members, trying to navigate their marriage, if it's our friends and family members here, Lord, are trying to figure out their life and their work and the things that they do, I lift them before you, God, that you would give them strength and peace. Lord, those who are far from you, may your Spirit begin to work and draw them to you, that they would learn what it means to trust in your Son, Jesus. And God, this prayer is for you, for your people, for me. Lead us and help us to trust in you every step of the way. We love you, Lord. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us?